news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
It's a busy, split-screen kind of week, starting with Donald Trump in Vietnam, bone spurs and all, for his second summit with Kim Jong-un.
I have a very, very good relationship with Kim Jong-un. Very, very good. We have a special feeling, and I think it's going to lead to something very good.
In a meeting with the country's governors, the president laid out the U.S.'s goal that North Korea get rid of its nuclear weapons without defining exactly what that looks like, while also appearing to tamp down expectations.
I'm not in a rush. I don't want to rush anybody. I just don't want testing. As long as there's no testing, we're happy.
A far cry from his position following the first summit last June.
It will be a total denuclearization, which is already starting.
The president had gone even further in a tweet saying, quote, there is no longer a nuclear threat from North Korea. But Secretary of State Mike Pompeo told Jake on State of the Union, that's just not true.
Do you think North Korea remains a nuclear threat?
Yes.
But the president said he doesn't.
It's not what he said. I mean, I know precisely
what he said.
He tweeted
that there is no longer a nuclear threat from North Korea.
Right. What he said is that what he said was that the efforts that had been made in Singapore, this commitment that Chairman Kim made, have substantially taken down the risk to the American people.
As the talks play out, key events in Congress could distract from the president's summit, including Trump's former personal attorney, Michael Cohen, testifying before Congress three times, privately and publicly.
Immigrants are welcome here.
And the House will vote Tuesday to block the president's national emergency declaration for the border wall.
If you don't have it, you're not going to have borders. You're not going to have a country pretty soon.
58 former senior national security officials see it differently, signing on to a scathing bipartisan letter admonishing the president's declaration.
The House on Tuesday is voting on a resolution to block Donald Trump's controversial national emergency declaration at the southern border. The legislation already has enough co-sponsors to pass, 230, including one Republican, Justin Amash. Once it passes the House, it moves to the Senate, where it seems only one more Republican vote is needed. Tom Tillis announced in a Washington Post op-ed on Monday that, quote, as a U.S. senator, I cannot justify providing the executive with more ways to bypass Congress. Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski had already signaled that they're on board. One more Republican defector would allow the bill to pass, sending it to Trump's desk, where it's believed he'd issue his first presidential veto. Michael Cohen begins 3 days of testimony on Capitol Hill Tuesday with a closed session at the Senate Intelligence Committee. On Wednesday, we all get to watch as Cohen appears before an open session of the House Oversight Committee. And then on Thursday, he's back behind closed doors again to testify before the House Intelligence Committee. A TV news crew from Univision was reportedly detained in Caracas, Venezuela on Monday after anchor Jose Ramos asked Nicolas Maduro questions he didn't like and showed him a video of people eating from the trash. They were released after about 3 hours, but their equipment and videotape was confiscated. Authorities informed them they'd be deported on Tuesday. As if things aren't shaky enough in Venezuela, let me direct you toward the border between India and Pakistan, where things are heating up between the two nuclear rivals. Earlier this month, a suicide car bomb attack in Kashmir killed 40 Indian soldiers. India blamed Pakistan and then launched airstrikes on an alleged terrorist training camp across the border. Kashmir has been bitterly contested by India and Pakistan since the partition of the two countries in 1947, leading to three wars and numerous skirmishes. Colorado's new governor, Jared Polis, will sign a measure to award his state's electoral votes to the winner of the national popular vote. Colorado will become the 12th state to join the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact. These 12 states and the District of Columbia, which has also passed a popular vote bill, account for 181 electoral votes, just under 90 shy of the 270 votes a presidential candidate needs to win the White House. So the compact won't go into effect until the coalition includes states that add up to 270 electoral votes or more. Once it does go into effect, states that are part of the coalition would award their electoral votes en masse to the candidate who wins the national popular vote. The White House plans to create an ad hoc group of select federal scientists to reassess the government's analysis of climate science and counter conclusions that the continued burning of fossil fuels is harming the planet, this according to three senior administration officials. The National Security Council initiative would include scientists who question the severity of climate impacts and the extent to which humans contribute to the problem. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers issued an executive order withdrawing more than 110 Wisconsin National Guard soldiers and aviators from Arizona, saying there was no justification for stationing troops at the U.S.-Mexico border. And finally, voters in Chicago head to the polls Tuesday to pick a new mayor to replace Rahm Emanuel, who isn't seeking re-election. The field of candidates is large, 14 people, so there will likely be a runoff. And that's a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.